Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big-time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd. On the Double with the Double S Express.
That's right, everybody. Back again on the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. Show number 5. What's going on, Sean Boyd?
Hey, man. Well, good evening, everybody. Man, there is a lot going on in today's sports. I mean, man, of course, I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about first the Heat and the Spurs game last night. Of course, the Miami Heat taking care of business in game 2 at home, evening up the series at 1-1. But the biggest thing talked about is the LeBron James block, actually being referred to as LeBrock last night on Tiago Splitter. And so, man, that's the, some are saying that this could be the block that actually blocks the Spurs from actually winning a world championship. Some other things, Mr. Wally, in the NBA, man, I mean, that are undertones. And of course, this section of the broadcast being brought to you by Original Po' Boys, in Sacramento. Original Po' Boys at 3119 Broadway in Sacramento, California. Lionel Hollins won't be offered a contract for the Memphis Grizzlies, Mr. Wally. Is that shocking to you?
It's hard to imagine all the coaching changes and the people that are coming and going when teams have done really well. You've got George Karl out in Denver when he was coach of the year. Now you've got this in Memphis. They went to the playoffs, had a nice run, but see you later.
Yeah, you know, and that's interesting that you mentioned that. Of course, George Karl, I believe we talked about this last week, George Karl being the coach of the year for the Denver Nuggets and not being asked back. And, of course, now Lionel Hollins is the next in line. On a positive note in the NBA, you got Maurice Cheeks being named the Pistons coach, and Byron Scott is visiting the L.A. Clippers. And so those are some of the things that are at the forefront for the NBA. Of course, the Heat Spurs. Game 3 tomorrow in San Antonio, and of course that's going to be a barn burner. But turning to the NFL, Mr. Wally, there's some interesting news coming out of Foxborough, and that is one Tim Tebow signing with Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots. What do you think of that?
Belichick coming straight out of left field with that one. Last reports were Tebow was possibly going to the Canadian Football League, and now he's close to Canada with a home in New England.
Yeah, you know, I want Tim Tebow to do well, and I think this will be a great start for him. And for one main reason, of course, and that is Tom Brady. And if there's anybody that can be a predecessor, that would be Tom Brady, to teach Tim Tebow some of the basic mechanics on how to play football. And the other thing, of course, is the Patriot way. And I think this would be a great thing for Tim Tebow to see if he can actually play at this level. The bad thing for Tim Tebow is if it doesn't work out in New England, I believe that that's it for him.
Oh, well, definitely. This is multiple teams, multiple chances, multiple opportunities, and he's got to make it work. And really, what he didn't have in the Jets, he needs to get back to a team that is similar to what he had in the Denver Broncos that gave him a shot, that where he was the backup quarterback and he had a defined role.
Yeah, well, you're talking about night and day, the two organizations that he was with and that he's with now. You're talking about Rex Ryan, the extrovert, wants everything out in the public, wants everybody to know his business, wants to be the center of attention, which the Tebow circus was just one of those things that added to the New York Jets. And now you're going into Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots, to where there's more structure, there's more, hey, this is the way we do it, we toe the line this way, and if you do it our way, then we're going to be successful. Again, this is the telltale sign for Tim Tebow to let everybody know if he can play in the league or not.
The question with Tebow is, what is his role going to be with the Patriots, and is that defined? Is he going to be in the running for the backup quarterback or third string quarterback, or are they going to try and convert him to a tight end? We just don't know yet.
Well, I think it's safe to say that he will not be the starting quarterback, which I noticed that you didn't mention that. One of the things that could happen with Tim Tebow is that they do put in a package for him, one that the New York Jets were supposed to do but didn't. And if the New England Patriots can do that, and if Tim Tebow can be successful then I think that it would throw off a lot of teams to have a one successful Tom Brady, you know, running the offense. And then you have Tim Tebow coming in from time to time to shake things up. But I don't think that Bill Belichick will do that. But I do believe that there will be a package put in for Tim Tebow.
You know, we interviewed John Kitna, former longtime NFL quarterback and current high school coach in Tacoma, Washington at Lincoln High School. Mm-hmm. And you asked him about Tebow, and his advice was to continue being himself. Don't try to be something you're not, and be who you are and be the man that you are. And hopefully that'll happen and he'll get that chance in New England.
Yeah, you know, and I believe that he will. And, you know, it's just unfortunate that this whole Tebow circus is what they're calling it now has come to fruition, because I do believe that Tim Tebow is a great young man. I believe that he's focused. I believe that he can get the job done. And again, this is a chance for him to actually do that. It just remains to be seen if, you know, he's NFL ready or if it's just going to continue to be a sideshow. I'm hoping that, you know, the young man can definitely turn it around.
Well, he's not a prototypical quarterback by any means. He's not a Peyton Manning. He's not a Dan Marino. He's not a drop back passer, but look at what he's done at every level. He won at Florida. He won in the playoffs with the Denver Broncos. The guy is a winner. He finds a way to get the job done.
Yeah, and another huge question is can he be taught? I mean, you know, at this point of his life, there's probably no way that he can actually change his whole style of play, but there are things that he can change to make himself more of a pocket style quarterback, or more of a savvy quarterback that can actually read the defense, or maybe see the second and third levels as far as holding the football a little bit more and getting it down the field. So those things that he can probably do. And, you know, again, having Tom Brady as, you know, one of your mentors, it definitely has to be a plus.
That's the voice of Sean Boyd. I am Sean Wally. You are listening to On the Double with the Double S Express as we talk a little bit of Tim Tebow news in the NFL.
Hey, Sean. Hey, one more thing, man. One more NFL note I wanted to talk to you about and tell the listeners about. And, man, be sure to call in. And if you have any questions, man, Chad Ocho Cinco, now Chad Johnson. Have you heard the news about Chad?
Not good news for him or somebody they call Pac-Man.
Oh, man. So Chad Johnson, here's the thing. Now, I'm a little disturbed about this one, and correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, he enters a plea to get everything expunged as far as the domestic violence that he had with his wife, whatever basketball wives or whatever whatever show he was on. And so that gets expunged. But as the judge rules in his favor, what he does is he pats his attorney on the butt. And the attorney sees, or the judge sees that, and rules 30 days in jail for him. You know, we talk about the officials in basketball and in football and how we want to take away the officials, even though we want judgment on the field and on the court and on the diamond. But, you know, we don't want them to take over everything. And so, man, here again, here's a person in judgment that actually, I feel, overstepped her bounds. And who cares if Chad pats his attorney on the rear? Who cares? And so that made a huge difference to her. And then all of a sudden, here he is in jail for 30 days.
You have to wonder what her ruling was, what she called that. I mean, for a pro athlete who's from the time he was age 6 in organized sports, you know, that's a gesture of attaboy, good job. You know, we scored, we got him, and now he's being punished for that.
Yeah, you know, and her judgment rule is that she didn't think he was contrite enough to where, you know, or humble enough in the circumstances. And so what she did, she tacked on 30 days. And so, you know, that's just something that I am just scratching my head at. You know, we're going to open up the calls at the end of the show. And if you want to call in and talk on any of these subjects, about Tim Tebow, didn't get a chance to talk too much about LeBron James and the block with Tiago Splitter. And if you want to talk about Chad Johnson, feel free, call in 888-429-5471. That's 888-429-5471. We're going to open up the lines at the end of the hour. And again, this segment is brought to you by Original Po' Boys at 3119 Broadway in Sacramento, California, 95817. Eric Crawford, the owner, stop by the original Po' Boys.
And with that, let's get to our big time guest number one here tonight. Our first return guest, a very, very great guest, good fan of the show. He's good to us. Let's welcome in Major League Baseball scout Darryl Brown, returning to talk MLB draft. Darryl, how you doing, sir?
Good. How are you?
Hey, how you doing, Darryl?
How's everything?
Good, good, man. The question is how are you, man? There was a big weekend this past weekend for you.
It was. I mean, you know, we travel all over the country. We go in these small towns and we eat at these burrito trucks and whatever else kind of trucks. And, you know, it's 3 days that we get to see our hard work pay off. So it was fun.
So Darryl is a Major League Baseball scout, for those of you who are first time listeners. Basically your role is to go out there and find tremendous talent, the diamonds in the rough, if you will. Give us a rundown. I mean, you know, the draft kind of, you know, towed the line in the beginning. I mean, we're looking at, you know, the Houston Astros with the number one pick, Mark Appel. Is it Appel? Did I pronounce it?
It's Mark Appel. And, yeah, he was the number one. I mean, he was the number one player in the country. I mean, I scouted him out of high school in Monta Vista High School in San Ramon. He's a tremendous person, tremendous kid, but it's also a tremendous talent, so he deserves it.
So tell me, are you in the war room, if you will, as far as the draft is concerned? Because I know that you're giving out pertinent information to the organization as far as what young men to pick. How was that process for you for the whole weekend?
Well, for me, it was, it all starts in June, right after the draft, the previous draft. So we go find talent, see talent, go to all the showcases around the country. And we follow players in our specific areas, territories, if you will. And we get to know these kids. We get to know the kids. We get to know their families. We get to know, you know, their habits. I mean, we do everything from follow them on Twitter to, you know, all the social media. And we really got to make sure that we know those players inside and out, because we're a lottery ticket. We're going to change their life. Potentially we can change their life.
And so, you know, definitely making life-changing experiences is something that is huge for these guys. I can imagine, you know, they go from, you know, eating sloppy joes and dry pizza in the lunchroom to now hitting stardom. You know, a lot of these guys are coming out of college, but, you know, some of them are coming out of high school, and that's what I was referring to as far as the bad food is concerned. And yeah, you're right, it does.
Absolutely. It's you know, we go to each high school. We go to as many high schools as possible. We hit the college circuit. And like I said, we get to know these players and we get to know these young men. And then there's a process. I mean, we give them paperwork to fill out a profile sheet. You know, what I do is I send all my information to the front office. We have our meetings. We go over players. They let me say my piece with the players on my list. They can tell in my voice who I like, who I don't like, who I say, hey, I pass on this guy. And sometimes we have a difference of opinion. That's the beauty of baseball. We all have an opinion. And if we don't agree, then that's when the fun begins, because we start debating why we like the player, why we don't like the player. So we bring up important points of our argument.
Hey, Darryl, Sean Wally here. Good to talk to you again. Thanks for taking the time out.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. As a former pitcher yourself in the Braves and Cubs organizations, what do you relate and project to these prospects, especially the young ones coming out of high school that you think might get selected, whether it be the team you work for or another, and how they make that decision, whether to go to college or try to be a pro early in their career?
Well, you know, obviously times have changed. There's a lot more money involved. I would be lying to you if I didn't say money is a major influence. Our job as a scout, I always try and live by my philosophies, and you know, I look for guys that love to play the game. I look for guys that enjoy being around the game, that have a passion for the game, and then the money is the icing on the cake. You know, it's hard for me to influence a kid with money if he doesn't want to go out and go play. And you know, my grandfather told me a long time ago, with anything, if you have to convince anybody to do anything, it usually isn't worth it. And you know, once you get to know the, you know, you spend an abundance of time with each prospect, you know who wants to play, and quite honestly, you know who's scared. You know, and you know that that's the first thing I emphasize to these kids. This is a big boys game. If you want to step into the arena, you know, then this is a big boys game. And if you want to go to school, I'm totally all for school. You know, and I don't have a problem with the young man that wants to go to school. I'm all for the education, but some guys just want to go out and play. I mean, just like the kid that I took, that we drafted, he wants to play. And that was just a good sign, because like, I've seen him since 11 year old, that we call him a baseball rat. That's what he is.
And Daryl, the young man that you're talking about, I believe Elk Grove homegrown. And I mean, what a tremendous young man Rowdy Tellez. You know, you coached him since he was 11 years old, or been involved with him since he was 11 years old. Just a wonderful young man. You know, there was a point to where it looked like he might go to the Seattle Mariners, and that he was, I believe he was a second or possibly, possibly first, maybe second, third round pick. And there he fell into your lap. I mean, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it was ironic. I mean, I'm following the draft like everybody else, and, you know, the phones are ringing, and there's a lot of mayhem going on. And, you know, and I call, and I'm talking to, you know, his family friend, and I'm asking, hey, you know, how are things going? He says, man, you know, I think he has a chance to go to Seattle here. And then, you know, I'm waiting, and then Austin Wilson, a Stanford product, he fell to the second round, and Seattle pulled the trigger and picked up Austin Wilson, who's a tremendous athlete and a tremendous baseball player. And, you know, unfortunately for Rowdy, you know, he started to slide, as we say. And, you know, that's where it all begins. I mean, now other teams are calling. You know, everybody's shaking and moving, and they're trying to get money. You know, there was a price tag, and they were trying to figure out what team wanted to pay the price tag. And I don't know how it all went about, but by the third day, he was still on the board. And I said, hey guys, I mean, I got a good feeling about this. Let's go ahead and pull the trigger on this guy.
And so do you believe that Seattle at the time picking Austin Wilson up? Now, what position is Austin Wilson?
He's a right fielder. He actually has more tools. He's a outfielder with a cannon for an arm. It was a quality pick by Seattle. I would have done the same thing if I were in that predicament.
And so Austin went to college. I mean, he was a college player, correct? Because I don't have his stuff in front of me. And so I know
Stanford,
that Seattle.
University.
Okay, Stanford, that's right. And so I know that, the Mariners picked DJ Peterson as their first round pick. And so do you think that played a part as far as maybe the Mariners looking for more seasoned baseball players, instead of going with a young man straight out of high school?
Well, yes, because I mean, DJ Peterson's a talent also. I mean, big raw right-handed power, but at the end of the day, I just believe that you line those guys up, and then you line them up on the board. It's DJ Peterson, Austin Wilson, and Rowdy Tellez, or it could have been Austin Wilson, DJ Peterson, Rowdy Tellez. At the end of the day, I believe Tellez was probably the third choice out of all three of them, and you know, Austin Wilson had, you know, was hampering, you know, he had some injuries. He was trying to get healthy. He got healthy and he was trying to, he was playing catch up in the spring. So I think that's why he fell. But at the end of the day, I believe that, you know, we ended up getting Rowdy Tellez, and it's a blessing because I believe that his abilities as a hitter and as a young hitter, I mean, he's been compared to Ryan Howard. He's been compared to David Ortiz, Adrian Gonzalez, potentially. So we'll see what we can do and see if we can get him in our system and, you know, we'll see in 3-4 years what he becomes.
That's the voice of MLB scout Darryl Brown joining us here on the double alongside Sean Boyd. I'm Sean Wally. And Darryl, one more question for our Seattle Mariner faithful out there. Times are tough at Safeco Field, and I find it a good thing that it seems that Jack Zarentic in Seattle went for skill players, not only in the field, but big-time bats, and that is what the big club is lacking in Seattle.
No, absolutely, and I, you know, we all, you know, pitching and defense wins championships, but I know when I take my son to a big league game, he wants to go early to watch BP. He wants to see the home run fly out the park. I know when fans come to the ballpark, they come to watch a guy hit the ball hard and hit the ball out of the yard. So I think the Seattle did a tremendous job with the draft this year and getting some power bats and athletes. And, you know, I'm telling you, I mean, they're going in the right direction and, you know, they just need some pitching and some arms to come through and, you know, they're going to be, you know, working their way up in the standings. So, Mariner fans, don't panic. You guys are going to be okay.
As generic as we can speak in terms of building a solid organization from the ground up, when your farm system is depleted, how many years would you say, with all of your experience playing and now as a MLB scout, does it take to rebuild that system to where it's a solid foundation for your big league club to be prosperous and winning?
Right off the top of my head, I'm saying 4 to 5 years. I mean, and it could be 3 to 5, but I'd say a solid 4 to 5 years is when you should start reaping the rewards from the minor league system, from the draft. Start seeing your draft picks creep up and making some kind of impact or contribution to the organization, to the big league club, to the parent club. But for me, I've always been a firm believer in scouting and player development and building from within. I mean, I just think that the scouts are the pulse, are the heartbeat of the organization, and you got to get out there and you got to turn over some rocks and you got to go into places that you've never been before, and you just got to go find them and find different personalities and you know, good things happen when you go and you like players. You got to have scouts that like players, and once you do that, 3 to 5 years, you guys will start, you know, any organization will start reaping benefits, and you guys will start seeing the rewards.
Yeah, you know, Sean had mentioned our Seattle listeners, and of course, we have a strong listening base in the Bay Area as well. And you had mentioned, you know, starting from within, you know, one of the teams, you know, in the Bay, the Oakland Athletics. I mean, you know, are they one of those teams that you're talking about as far as building from within, building that strong base? It sure seems like they do.
Absolutely. I mean, you look at their pitching staff, you look at their position players, you know, you look at how they acquired the Derek Norrises and how they acquired the Brett Andersons and the Dan Herons. It all came from within. Scouts went out, signed players, the player development system, they developed the players. And whatever they needed, hey, I think this guy's ready for our big league club. Hey, maybe we can throw this guy into a trade to make sure we get an established big leaguer back. And when you can shake and move and make those kind of, you know, and you can maneuver. And I mean, Billy Bean has done a heck of a job as far as, you know, when they need a spot starter, they need an arm. I mean, you get a guy like AJ Griffin or Don Straley, and next thing you know, you look up and they won 8, 9, 10 games, 11, 12 games, and you're like, man, where do these guys come from?
Right.
You know? So, I mean, it's unbelievable. Then you go out and you go get, you know, Cespedes, and then you acquire Chris Young, and now all of a sudden you're looking, you're scratching your head like, man,
yeah,
these guys are pretty good.
Yeah, you know, and that's the beauty of baseball. And of course, you know, for most sports fans, you know, we have seen Moneyball and seen how that process works. You know, do you believe that that process can actually win you a Major League Baseball title?
Well, I mean, I don't know Moneyball in and out. I don't know about the statistics. I only follow statistics to a certain degree. I do believe that, you know, when you get tools, baseball players, athletes, and a good group of guys that have the will to win and competitive drive, I don't know if that's Moneyball. I'm old school. You know, we got to go out there and play, and my job is to beat you. My opponent that doesn't have the same jersey on, I'm trying to beat you. I will beat you.
That's good stuff. Good stuff.
Yeah, I don't know about the on-base percent. I mean, obviously, you got to get on base in order to win. I mean, if you're continuously making that right turn at first base and not the left turn, obviously, you're not going to score any runs.
Yeah, obviously, that means you're out. Yeah, definitely. And so, this is Darryl Brown, Major League Baseball scout that we have on the double with the Double S Express. Sean, any other thoughts? Any questions?
Yeah, Darryl, before we let you go, now that the draft is concluded, do you get a little bit of time off? I know you talked previously on the show that you were already scouting for 2014, but do you get a little bit of downtime now? You get to take a vacation, relax at all?
Not at all. That's a negative. Right now, you know, since we have drafted Rowdy Tellez, what I'm going to do is I'm going to follow him throughout the summer, watch his progression, wait for us to you know, we're going to negotiate, and I also have to go to other showcases and start watch. Matter, I just walked in probably about 15 minutes before this the show started. I was at another showcase about an hour away, and I'm already looking at 14s and even some 15s, and I'm starting to put my schedule together on where I'm going in the summertime, if it's Southern California, if it's Houston, if it's Atlanta, where, you know, I'm always on the road. So safe to say that Thanksgiving is when I get a break. Thanksgiving
Wow.
and Christmas is right when I start getting my break.
All right, Darryl Brown, Major League Baseball scout, thank you so much once again for hopping on the hotline, brought to you by the original Po' Boy in Sacramento, California. Appreciate your time tonight.
Hey, thank you for having me. Always a pleasure.
Hey, Darryl, best of luck to you, man. I know that you are definitely on the way to having your organization have tremendous success, and appreciate having you on, man.
Thank you. Hopefully I'll see you soon.
All right.
Take care.
Darryl Brown with his good insights as a former pitcher in the Atlanta Brave and Chicago Cub organizations and now a Major League Baseball scout. Good stuff there from Darryl Brown, Sean Boyd.
Yeah, you know, I really love sitting down and talking with Darryl. I mean, I know where his heart is. And this man puts it down day in and day out. And they're he talks about the sacrifices that are made to build an organization, you know, and not just the sacrifices on the field or on the diamond, but in life in general. I mean, you know, how do you balance these things out? What are the key things that you're looking for as the player is concerned? And, you know, should you be looking at a college player or a high school player? You know, all of these things go, you know, hand to hand in order to build a solid franchise. And you know, I do. I know Darryl is going to definitely turn his organization around.
And some good advice that the Seattle Mariners might be on the right track. The Oakland Athletics have performed well, gotten the playoffs in the last few years, and, you know, the way they're doing things might be in the right direction.
Yeah, you know, you talk about the Oakland Athletics. I mean, it's still early in the season, of course, but, you know, the Athletics were, you know, just got atop of first place a couple of nights ago and then lose two in a row. Now they're half a game out, but they're going to battle. You know, they're going to battle all year with the Texas Rangers. And, you know, I believe that the Oakland A's year in, year out with a strong farm club system. Of course, they have the Sacramento River Cats, and then they have other teams in the area. that helped build their franchise, yeah, they're going to be a team to be reckoned with for a long time.
That's the voice of Sean Boyd. I am Sean Wally. You're listening to On the Double with the Double S Express, and we will be back with big time guest number two right after this.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services, platinum service without the platinum price.
What's my image?
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. And we are all set for big time guest number two. And let's welcome in on the hotline, comedian Vince Valenzuela. Vince, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, guys. I heard big time guest number two. I'm like, who's going to be on the show? Sounds cool.
Hey, welcome to the show, Vince. Thanks for being on, man.
Hey, thanks for having me. What's on the agenda for tonight?
Well, hopefully steak and, you know, maybe some mashed potatoes, but that's a little bit later. So you are a comedian and you are a funny man. And how did you get started into comedy? When did you know that was what you wanted to do? And how did it all work out for you?
Well, I started my career in stand-up and I was in college. I actually was played baseball, junior college, and then I transferred over to Central. And I was going to school there just to finish up my business degree and kind of discovered stand-up while I was in college. And I liked it, and then I moved back to Seattle and was doing open mics and was doing some acting stuff and started getting work as a comedian. And at the time, when I got out of college, I was a marketing major, and this was when none of the professional sports teams really had marketing departments. But the only way I was going to do corporate was if I could get a job doing sports marketing. So I applied all over the country, and I got one bite from the Sonics, and it was in the Redskins, actually. And it didn't really pan out, and had some offers to sell pharmaceuticals, and I said, I really don't. The guy offered me a job. I said, yeah, I really don't want to do this. I'm sorry to waste your time. And so I started doing gigs and traveling, and I was doing the road full time and started doing TV and all that stuff. And then was in LA for a few years, and then I came back to Seattle, and then I started diversifying into acting and voiceover. So it's been a different ride, but challenging and fun. And but I kind of knew that that's what I wanted to do, and I didn't know where I was going to end up, but I just trusted the process and just kept working at it. So a lot like athletics, you know, you just got to just keep working at it, plugging away. You learn along the way, and, you know, eventually you learn your craft.
Hey, Vince, Sean Boyd here down in Sacramento, California. Man, so you'd mentioned, trying out marketing gigs with the Redskins and the Seahawks, probably a good choice that you're in comedy right now, considering that the Sonics are out of town for the time being.
I could have saved the franchise. Save the franchise. Let's not kid anybody.
You know, and that's what I was. That's what I'm hoping to hear, man. I mean, you know, for those of us who are Sonic fans, you know, I now am a Golden State Warrior fan because they're no longer the Sonics in Seattle. But man, it sure would be great to have them back in Seattle.
Yeah, and it's really disappointing because the Pilots were there, you know, and then the Sonics were the sole professional team for a while, and you know they had such a strong fan base and whatnot, and it's just kind of, you know, once Ackley, the ownership, was out of the picture, it changed the whole landscape of the franchise, and you know it kind of became. You know, they started getting rid of certain people, key players, coaching, you know, all that stuff. And, you know, acting like they were going to get good acquisitions in the off season. But, you know, you could smell a rat. And
right.
Howard Schultz wasn't in it to be a winner. He was in it to make money. And, you know, he wasn't making the money hand over fist like he thought he was and then was crying. So, you know, it's.
Yeah, definitely.
The whole thing smells still, you know, and the city still hurts over it. And then the whole irony of it all, you know, with the whole thing that was going on recently, and the NBA should give Seattle a team, and it would be well supported.
Yes, definitely. For those of you just tuning in, we have Vince Valenzuela, comedian, formerly in Seattle, now in Los Angeles. Hey, you know, just listening to some of your stuff, man, I mean, you are incredibly funny. And so, you know, which leads me to believe that there's a skit that you have out there or an act that you have that you talk about NASCAR in the South. Now, I mean, are you a NASCAR specialist? Are you a NASCAR fan?
Well, you know, when I wrote that bit, this is really before NASCAR became huge on a national level. And I was in the South, I turned to the South. I was in like 8 different states. And, you know, if you didn't live in the South, you would have, it would be like walking into a third world. You would not, because there was NASCAR paraphernalia everywhere. Every gas station you walked into, there'd be these figurines and there's, I mean, imagine that like everything that would be put into a bar or a restaurant or any kind of mini mart was totally NASCAR. I mean, everywhere you went and you just walk around and go, what the hell is going on?
Yeah,
you know, you never see anything like it. So you really just like. And then how it started was, I was talking about that, and there'd be guys arguing during my show about who the better driver was. So that kind of started it. And I just was not a fan of things going in a circle. You know, that's just me. I don't think drivers are good athletes. They're not. They're a good driver, but it doesn't mean they're a great athlete.
They're great at turning to the left, though. I tell you that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And you know, but I tell you how people take that stuff so seriously is that, you know, I've had people threaten my life. People want to, you know, take me outside after the show. I mean, it's that. I mean, if somebody was to go on my YouTube account and check out the NASCAR, the Religion of NASCAR clip, they'll see the comments that these people make.
Oh,
and
no.
Full of racist death threats.
Yeah, I know firsthand. I definitely know firsthand, went to school down in Alabama, and that's when I was indoctrinated into NASCAR, and actually went to the Daytona 500 down there in Florida. And embraced Ryan Newman. And so, that was basically the extent of NASCAR for me. But, you know, if I wanted to stay and go to school down there, I needed to pick my alliance.
you needed to win in Rome, right? You got to do
right.
that to make it fit in. I have one day I was driving in that Daytona. I was doing a gig down there. And I was driving into town, and it was dusk. And all I could see, I didn't realize that it was the Daytona Speedway. All I saw, the place is so huge that in the parking lot of the Daytona Speedway is a dog track, right?
Right.
So all I see is at dusk, and I see this neon light blinking dog track. And then I just see this massive stadium behind it. It just goes for miles.
About 110,000 people or something like that.
And I go, what the hell is wrong with these people? These poor dogs. I mean, my God, how do they get around this track? You know, and it's like it must be a relay, you know. So I remember just thinking, like, Oh, it's the Daytona Speedway, but I thought it was a dog track. The world's largest dog track.
It's good stuff.
Vince Valenzuela joining us here on the double alongside Sean Wally and Sean Boyd. Vince, what have you learned over the years throughout your tours of the country? I know that I saw you personally in Tacoma, and you were definitely a riot, and I've become a fan since then, and I know you've been locally. I'm here in the Tri-Cities, and you've been here before, and touring the country. What have you learned? What was maybe different than you first thought when you were starting on this path?
What have I learned? I became very cynical about America. I will say that. Your visions of America growing up and being, you know, maybe isolated in the Northwest or wherever you may be, you know, you learn a lot about, wow, this isn't really exactly what I thought it would be, but, you know, I enjoyed it all the more. My style is been more social commentary and so, that when you tend to do that type of humor, people tend to look at you and take offense to that at times. So, but it was what interested me. So, you know, my thing I probably learned the most is that you just got to stick to your guns no matter what you do. You know, your individual spin on your take of whatever job you may do or your own relationships, whatever it be, is you got to follow your gut and you got to be true to yourself. And the rest will work itself out. You know, it's like I learned that I had to live and die by my comedy sword, so to speak. So, you know, I didn't know exactly how things were going to end up or, you know, exactly what my style was. I didn't have anybody I wanted to emulate or be. I just wanted to be me, my own version of me. And you know, it takes a while to get like that, to evolve. And so that's probably the biggest thing I learned. And just be yourself, be your own unique self. And, you know, another thing too, as far as comedy is concerned, is that, you know, a lot of time when you're young, comics will start and they write, you know, what they think the audience will be funny. And every comic has done it when they start out or whatever. But, you know, you really have to write, you know, what you truly think is funny and write about things you truly think is funny. And whatever your vision of that topic may be, you know, and your own personal experience of that topic. And that, to me, will always get, to me, that's what my funniest material to me is, you know. And so if you do what you truly believe is funny and write it the way you want to write it, and you throw it out there and it works, and you think, you know, I was right. I followed my gut feeling on it, so.
Comedian Vince Valenzuela joining us here on the Double with the Double S Express. Now, Vince, you've been on network television. You've been on Grimm recently here this year in 2013. And I believe you are the voice on a video game or two. What have those experiences been like for you?
Well, I did a video game called Left 4 Dead. It was released in late 2008, and then they did other versions of it. And so I voiced a character called Francis who was a multiplayer format, four-player format, and my guy was a big biker guy and gruff and kind of the protector of the group and sarcastic, and he hates everything. And so that was, as far as voiceover, that's probably the most, exposure I've done as far as, you know, voice work and stuff. But what I liked about that is, you really give you a chance to really dive into the character and create the character because, you know, you have, the first session I did, I was ripping through 90 pages of script. So, you know, you get a chance to really get in a groove and kind of make the character your own, where a lot of voiceover, particularly if you're doing commercials or things like that, that it's a lot shorter. So you really don't get that kind of time to really immerse yourself in the character. So and then there was a lot of people that kind of found my stand up through that, which is kind of weird because, you know, they'll make comments and stuff like, "Well, you don't sound like Francis." But see, Francis isn't me, and Francis is a character, and So that was it was a really fun experience, and it was really kind of interesting that people, gamers are really into gaming, and they take, it's almost kind of the same as NASCAR, that people are really into it, and they take it very seriously, and people would find me on Facebook or something, and couldn't believe that I friended them because that was a favorite character ever in a video game, and so it's nice that people like what you do and get a kick out of it. So,
yeah, Vince, Sean Boyd here, and as you're saying, definitely video games are a sport in itself and a strong cult, if you will. Why don't you tell our listeners? Well, one of the projects that you have going on now, you have a DVD that's out. I believe it's called Ben Shui.
Yeah, that's the other Sean will tell you it's very current. I've released a couple CDs and DVD CDs. Deranged Damage. Another one was called Verbal Vigilante, and then the DVD I did was called Ben Shui. And I wrote and produced them, and I have an entertainment company called Shameless Entertainment. So I originally was Shameless Records, and then it kind of morphed into Shameless Entertainment. But I always wanted to have more control of my work and content and how I wanted to put it all together and all that stuff. So I always treated those as one, as a separate entity, as just one product, and put the best album, CD or album together, and best DVD I could together, and it's, you just go with what you got at that time, and you just learn have to let it go, because nothing's ever going to be perfect. But I had fun putting those together, and that's a whole different it's challenge of taking all these pieces of a puzzle of what you do and put it together in one little single product, and kind of just stamp that in time and let it go. It's like, it's done. Here it is. And, I've been doing more kind of dramatic parts the last few years. I did a episode of Leverage where I played a Boston cop who gets set up, robbed by these Russians. And then I hired the Leverage team, and then did a thing for America's Most Wanted where I was a Mexican fugitive who was deported and came back and attacked his girlfriend. And then I did this thing for on Grimm where I was I played a grief counselor. So, these are pretty serious roles, which I like because it's a total end of the spectrum is stand-up, and I just more attracted to those, acting-wise.
This is Vince Valenzuela on the double with the Double S Express. One more question for you, Vince. I don't know if you're following the NBA right now as far as the NBA finals. Who do you got, the Heat or the Spurs?
Well, I watched both games, and I what's weird about Miami? Miami reminds me a lot of like the Lakers, where the Lakers could just not do anything. They're still in the game. They're playing crappy. There's no cohesion, and they're just, they're not making shots. They're playing crappy defense, but they're still in the game. And then they turn it on. It's something else. And game one, Tony Parker was amazing. I really like Tony Parker. I like the Spurs because they're just so fundamentally sound. They're nothing flashy. They grind it out. They're just fundamentally sound. And I love that about them. And then you get, the Heat, where very athletic, fast. And, they can play great defense, but they can really look horrible, too. And it's been – I would like to see the Spurs take it because they're, they're older and they don't have all the athleticism in the world, But I like the fact that they got a lot of heart, they got a lot of experience. And, I really think it's just going to go down to Game 7. But I think I would like to see them pull it off because I think Tim Duncan is a class act, and he is, and Tony Parker's just really good. Ginobili's, and people just wonder what's wrong with Ginobili, and obviously the guy's not healthy, and certainly not playing well. But they got some younger guys that are stepping up and scoring and playing good D. But I got to tell you that that block last night that LeBron had was was something else. Yeah. I mean, just the sheer force that dude had. I mean, the guy was coming straight down the lane, and he came up and just, I mean, just the sheer power of that to hold that there and just, and then, I mean, the force of it was amazing.
Right. You know, I'm thinking that maybe my wrist would have been broken. First of all, I couldn't get that high. But if I were to actually block a shot, I'm sure my wrist would have snapped in two trying to block it. So, yeah, that was intense that LeBron would actually meet Thiago Splitter at the summit like that.
Yeah, there's you guys talk about 30-30s at all in your show?
I mean, we do from time to time, or we can from time to time. But, yeah, I definitely watch the 30 for 30s.
Well, you know, the sheer strength of Bo Jackson, you know, just and just freakishly strong, naturally gifted athletes like that are just, even as a kid, they're like head and shoulders above everybody else. And LeBron was certainly that way. There was a 30-30 where Marcus Dupree, and Marcus Dupree came to Oklahoma, and, you know, he was the most highly recruited running back in the country. And the coach, the running back coach, was telling him to do something, and Marcus didn't like what he had to say. And he put the football in his face with one hand. And the coach, with both hands, was trying to move it. And Marcus Dupree just held it with one hand, and he could not budge that ball.
Oh,
and he just said, he goes, "That's how strong he was. He had one hand, I could not move it with both my hands, with all my force. That's
amazing.
How strong he was."
Amazing.
Yeah.
Vince Valenzuela, funny man, comedian. Sean Boyd said, last question. I've got one more for you. Man, I hate to admit this, but the team I like, the Seattle Seahawks, they're writing your comedy bits for you with all the PEDs and Adderall and things that they're picking up.
Yeah, it's amazing the stuff that, you know, these people find to give them a competitive edge. I mean, you know, it's pretty bizarre. But, you know, I'll tell you, I used to watch a lot more sports, and now, you know, like baseball, I really watch when it playoff time hits. And, you know, same with football, same with basketball. But last year, I did get into the Hawks, and a buddy of mine, he's a comic as well, he was originally from Seattle, Steve Smith is his name, and I watched the first game, and I texted him. I said, "Russell Wilson is the real deal." And he's like, "No, he's terrible. He shouldn't be in the game." I go, "Listen, man, he's the real deal." It was like I just clicked on the game, and I saw him throw a touchdown pass, and I said, and I just liked him immediately. I didn't really watch much of the preseason, and he is so intelligent and so savvy. And in his, he never does too much. He always is contained. He's not wild, and he's an incredible leader and an incredibly gifted guy. And you know, I mean, get signed as a baseball player. You know, could have played Major League Baseball if he really wanted to, but he'd rather play football. But, you know, he's just that kind of athlete. And they got some serious athletes, and they're just fun to watch and fun to root for. And they just. They just go for it. I love the fact that they just knock people out, a lot of them. You know, just they're hard hitting, and you know, for years they just would get beat. I mean, poor tackling, they get beat deep, and then the offense sucked. I never liked Hasselbeck. I always, you know, he's always on roller skates, and you know, if you got him rattled early, you know, nothing was going to happen. And but Russell Wilson and their offense, now they got the dude from Minnesota, and they're going to be really exciting and have great defense. They're going to be – their offense is going to be better. It's going to be better than it was at the end of the season and with that defense.
It's going to be
– probably because they're jacked up on something, right? Is that what the whole point of this conversation was?
That's got to be it.
Because they got performance-enhancing drugs in them. But, you know, what are you going to do? I mean, it's like – everybody's looking for that edge, and I don't even know how you find that out. You know, it's like, where's the guy? Are you in a, you know, some kind of drugstore one day and some guy just says, you know, I don't know if you knew this, but, you know, if you take X-Lax, that will, you know, you can get your bench up. Like, really?
Yeah.
Who knew?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like the, you know, like the old 60s shows where the, you know, the guy's in the corner, he's got the long trench coat on, he whispers you over and says, come here, I got something for you. You know, something like that. You know, I'm sure it's along the lines of that.
Yeah, and it, you know, it's amazing that there's, you know, actually really talented scientists that are, you know, developing stuff, performance enhancing drugs. And it's just like computer hackers, you know, they're always trying to stay ahead of the other guys. The good guys, and that's the same thing with sports. And you know, it's tough when there's that much money and endorsement deals and all that stuff. And you know, that stuff happens. But you know, and you know, there's other arguments. Just you know, if everybody's doing it, and then just let them play. It's entertainment. You know, that whole argument. Let them do what they do. It's entertainment. But at the same time, people, you know, want it natural. So I just like, you know, I just like people that, that work hard at what they do and they play hard. And, you know, I mean, it's, everybody's so big and so fast and so athletic. It's phenomenal to watch. It's, you know, these guys that are, you know, linebackers that are running 4.40s and, you know, and they're 265 pounds and, you know, that kind of stuff. It's phenomenal.
That's the voice of comedian Vince Valenzuela, kind enough to join us here on The Double. And we talked about your DVD, Vin Shway. And I believe you've been kind enough to allow us to give one away to a lucky listener tonight. Is that correct, Vince?
That's correct.
All right.
Hey, and if they don't like it, it makes a great coaster. So there you go. They can watch the NBA Finals, put their beer right on it.
Yeah,
so, I have them all around my place. So
we're going to make the listeners work at this one. We're not just going to take the ninth caller. We've got a trivia question to win this Vin Shway comedy DVD from Vince Valenzuela. And I got to say, I stumped a certain co-host I may be talking to right now.
Oh, man, here we go. I mean, you're... Yeah, you know, and it's pretty tough, you know, to stump me, but yeah, he got me on this one, and I call myself an actual fan of the team, and so, yeah, you got me on this one, Sean.
I was impressed, I got you. So, if you think you have the answer and you want a chance at Vin Shway, the comedy DVD from Vince Valenzuela, dial up 888-429-5471, 888-429-5471. We are looking to the answer for this question. Can you give us Ken Griffey Jr.'s first name? It might be a trick question. It might not. We're looking for Ken Griffey Jr.'s first name. First caller with that answer will win Vin Shway, courtesy of Vince Valenzuela. Vince, it's been great, man. Thanks a lot for taking the time out tonight and joining us here on The Double.
Yeah, thank you, guys. And I didn't realize that you, Sean, the one Sean, was in Sacramento, but I know the other Sean was in Tri-Cities, and I just was going to plug a date that I was going to be there.
Yeah, by all means, go ahead and plug away.
Yeah, there's going to be a new club opening up in the Tri-Cities. It's called the Elbow Room, and I'll be there July 25th through the 27th, and the website, they can get tickets either through brownpapertickets.com or elbowroomlive.com. I'll be there July 25th through the 27th, and that is actually Hydro Weekend, I guess. So more things going in a circle just on water.
Vince Valenzuela at the Elbow Room, a new club here in the Tri-Cities. Definitely. Hydro Race Weekend, what a great way to finish your night. Get on out to the new Elbow Room and see Vince Valenzuela. I will definitely come and see you, Vince.
Well, thanks, guys. I had a good time.
Hey, thanks for being on the show, Vince.
Thanks a lot. All
right, man. You guys take care. Good luck.
All right.
Check Vince out at vincevalenzuela.com. And if you're in the Eastern Washington area, once again at the Elbow Room, the end of July, Columbia Cup weekend, July 25 through 27, Vince Valenzuela in the Tri-City, Sean Boyd.
Yeah, man, you know, and of course the Hydros are in full effect, and they were here in Sacramento, actually in Folsom a couple of weeks ago, or actually a week ago, big wake weekend out here. And so it was fun, festive times. And I know that Tri-City definitely does a great job as far as the Hydros are concerned. And of course, up in Seattle at Seafair.
And again, if you know the answer to our trivia question for a free Vince Valenzuela comedy DVD, call 888-429-5471. We're looking for the answer to what is Ken Griffey Jr.'s first name. First caller with that answer wins a free comedy DVD courtesy of Vince Valenzuela. You are listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. We will take one final break and come back and wrap up the show after this, right here on the Double with the Double S Express.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services, platinum service without the platinum price.
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
Welcome back to On the Double with Double S Express, Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
That's right. Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. A fabulous show here tonight. Show number 5, Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. And we are looking for a winner for a free comedy DVD called Vin Shway, courtesy of Vince Valenzuela, who was on the show, our big guest number 2 tonight. And I believe we have Patrick from Washington who might have the answer we are looking for. Patrick, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Pat, can you tell me what is Ken Griffey Jr.'s first name for a free DVD?
Well, being a true Mariner fan and growing up in the area of Seattle, I believe his name was first name was George.
Oh, man.
John Boyd, is that correct?
Oh, man, that is definitely correct. It, you know, to be honest with you, Pat, I had no clue. That Ken Griffey Jr.'s first name was George. I mean, who knew that? Obviously Pat does, and everybody else knows except me. So congratulations.
Big congratulations to Pat as we stumped Sean Boyd, but we did not stump Patrick from Washington as he is the big winner of Vin Shway DVD.
Woo-hoo!
Comedy courtesy of Vince Valenzuela and Shameless Entertainment.
Well, thank you.
Man, great job. Way to know your Ken Griffey Jr. trivia, Pat.
Oh, yeah. I'm just hoping that the Mariners can pick it up. We still got some baseball left.
You think Man. A chance? You think they can right the ship?
I'm optimistic. I mean, they've been improving, so hopefully we can get the job done. It's still early.
That's awesome. That's awesome. You know, I believe that the Mariners can definitely can turn it around. You know, it's just going to take a matter of time. Of course, we had Darryl Brown on earlier, and he was saying that, you know, it takes about 2 to 3, 4 to 5 years to actually get the organization going. I believe the Mariners are right in the middle of that. So I think they're going to turn things around here definitely in the years to come.
So, Pat, are you a first-time listener to On the Double, or have you heard any of our other five shows?
I've heard the first pilot show that you guys had, and this is my second time on the air. I'm a little bit busy on myself. I try to catch up at time to time, but definitely like the show, and I'm a fan favorite of it, and hopefully we can keep going.
Well, man, we appreciate you calling in, Pat.
Yeah, thanks so much for listening.
Thank you.
We'll definitely get your information off the air, and we'll send you that DVD.
Okay, thank you.
There is Patrick from Washington who won the DVD tonight, courtesy of Shameless Entertainment, Vince Valenzuela starring in Shui. We have a winner, Sean Boyd.
Yeah, you know, and again, man, I feel sick that I didn't know that, you know, being a Ken Griffey Jr. fan. I mean, I had all the Mariners back in the day, you know, that's my guy, and didn't even know it.
Well, you're smarter now for it.
That's right. I'm a lot smarter for it.
A good show tonight. We had big time guests. Number one tonight was Daryl Brown, MLB scout. Our first returning guest, as the MLB draft was this past weekend, with some good insight on the process.
Yeah, you know, Daryl, again, you know, giving his insight on what it takes to actually select Major League Baseball players. And, you know, Major League Baseball is entirely different than, you know, a football or a basketball. They're looking at young men coming out of high school, you know, and that's when they're getting drafted. And so, you know, just to get an insight on how that process works and, you know, what goes on in your mind as far as the scout is concerned, how they relay that message to the front office and the coaching staff and what they're looking at, you know, those types of things intrigue me, and it's great to have Daryl on again to explain to us. And, of course, congratulations to Daryl on getting a chance to draft one of the players that he helped develop as a young man, and that is Rowdy Tellez.
And our big-time guest number two, we had a long conversation with comedian Vince Valenzuela. You can find him on Facebook as well as at vincevalenzuela.com. And Patrick from Washington State was the big winner of Vin Shui, comedy DVD of Vince Valenzuela and Shameless Entertainment. And Vince will be here in the Tri-Cities July 25 to 27 at the Elbow Room.
And if you haven't had a chance to see Vince Valenzuela, definitely look him up. You can look him up on YouTube. And I mean, man, the guy is funny, you know. And one of the things that he does the best is he just tells the story. He tells a story on his life. He's not trying to be somebody that he's not. He just stays, he sticks with what he knows. And when he does that, I mean, he just comes out hilarious. So definitely get a chance to see Vince Valenzuela.
Get a hold of us via email, via Facebook, via Twitter. Any, all of those options are yours. Take your pick. Let us know what you want to hear. Let us know what you like, what you maybe want to hear a little bit different. We are open to all suggestions. You can email us at Sean, S-H-A-W-N, at double-S-Express.com. Or you can email Sean Boyd, S-E-A-N, at double-S-Express.com, and as well as our Twitter and Facebook pages.
Yeah, and if you want to go on our website, you can go on our website, again, at double-S-Express.com. You can get a chance to listen to some of our archived shows that we've done in the past. Again, that's double-S-Express.
That's right, and we'll be back. Go ahead, Sean.
Oh, no, go ahead.
We'll be back with you for show number 6. Man, Sean Boyd, hard to fathom. We've already gone through 5 shows. Show number 6 will be next Monday night, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Yes, and hopefully we'll have a deciding factor as far as the NBA playoffs are concerned. But who knows? This thing definitely looks like it's going to go 7 games. And, you know, it's an exciting series thus far.
As a former college track athlete and a former high school basketball coach, are you predicting the NBA Finals to go 7 games, Sean Boyd?
Well, you know, that is the million-dollar question, but, you know, I actually see that the Heat will take care of business in 6. So they'll come back home and they'll take care of business in 6. They'll go up 3-2, and then when they get back home, they'll finalize things in Miami.
I would say right now the Spurs have the advantage winning on Miami's home floor, and typically the team that does that will win the series. So it will be interesting to see if Miami can regain the advantage by winning in Sacramento.
And so it looks like they, you know, right now the pendulum has swung in Miami's favor, but there's a lot of games to be played. Of course, there's huge question marks on San Antonio's side. Will Manu Ginobili step up and actually start to be a factor in the series? Once he does that, or if he can do that, then I think this will be a different series. But if you allow the Miami Heat to run up and down the court like they did last night, and you allow LeBron James to pick you apart and find open men in the passing lanes, well, it's going to be a long series, or it might be a quick series for the San Antonio Spurs.
Well, the series will probably still be going when we talk to you next, which will be 1 week from tonight, 7 p.m. Pacific, here on the Double with the Double S Express. You can listen to our shows at bbsradio.com/onthedouble or our website, double-s-express with no E, .com.
And hey, Sean. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
As Sean Boyd mentioned, all of our shows and interviews are archived at bbsradio.com and also our website as well.
Hey, Sean, just before we go, I wanted to send a quick shout out to my family. Just a big, huge weekend that we had. My middle son, Devon Boyd, graduating from Sacramento High School, and had 4 great years of playing basketball there. Paid his dues, graduated cum laude in his class, and so I'm definitely excited about that. Congratulations to you, son, heading on to Chaminade University in Honolulu. And so there was just a bunch of fun that we've been having over the past few days, and I just wanted to say just a quick shout-out to the family. Love you guys. It was great.
And you know that Amy and I were there in spirit partying with you guys all weekend.
Definitely. Definitely.
All right, that's going to wrap up show number 5 here on the Double with the Double S Express. For Sean Boyd down in Sacramento, I am Sean Wally in Tri-Cities, Washington. Join us next Monday, 7 p.m. Pacific on the Double.
Thanks for listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for some more great sports talk and big-time guests on the Double with the Double S Express.